listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Monday, December 10th.
It's almost Christmas.
Second week in Advent. And
we still had a blue/purple candle this weekend.
You're not sure what color it was?
Well, it all depends on our listeners.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you what it was in my church.
We have a different color at home than what we have in the sanctuary. Yeah. So
we just
keep it all mixed up in our household. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. This is today, like, your edification station, man. We have...
I'm going to hashtag that on Twitter.
Edification station. Something to learn today. And we're excited about it because we get to do something special during the 12 days of Christmas this year. Taking on a new challenge that might just be the death of me, but...
it'll be fine.
I wanted to in a sense, reclaim the 12 days of Christmas. There are all kinds of other radio stations that play music, November 1st, that start playing Christmas music that really has very little to do with Christ at Christmas.
Yeah.
So we want to reclaim that and enjoy true Christian Christmas music during this Christian holiday. And so what are the 12 days of Christmas all about? Who better than the Reverend William Whedon, Director of Worship for the LCMS Office of National Mission, host of Thy Strong Word, chaplain to us poor souls here at the IC as well, having mercy on me. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Pastor Whedon.
Hey, thank you. I'm honored by the invitation.
What is the 12 days of Christmas? We all know that Christmas carol that goes on and on and on and on and has been depicted in many ways. But really, what are the real 12 days of Christmas all about?
Well, I think the best way to get into what the 12 days are all about is to look at the readings that are done during these days. And the first day is really the one that we should pay most attention to, the day of Christmas itself. It's very unique. It has actually three separate services. Almost no churches observe this anymore, which is so sad. But there is the midnight service. A lot of places still have that, right? The late night service, candlelight. And that features Luke 2:1-14, the birth of Christ and the angels' initial message to the shepherds that a savior is born. You're going to find him, the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But then the church had a service at Christmas dawn, which featured the next part of Luke 2, where the shepherds would then say to one another, come, let us go and see this thing that has come to pass. And how Mary kept all the things the shepherds told her and pondered them in her heart. And then, of course, the main service on Christmas Day, which a lot of our churches still have, where John 1 is read. Now, if you look at these three things, you see the birth of Christ in the flesh, the birth of Christ in the hearts of his believers and the shepherds, and then the birth of Christ eternally from the Father in the third. So all go together celebrating the birth of Christ eternally in time and in spiritually in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that the midnight service, that collect is one of my favorites.
Oh, it is so beautiful.
All the entire church here.
Yeah.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. The light that shines in the darkness, it's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
those texts are, as you were referring to those texts, those are where several liturgical songs come from as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The first text, Gloria comes from that. What was the second text? There was a liturgical song coming to mind. I can't remember
in
now.
In the shepherds? I hear, Laufdür, hier not zugleich. I can hear that. That's not liturgical.
Okay, so it's not a liturgical song, but it was Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Yeah, okay, yes. Sure.
Not a liturgical song.
And certainly, like hymns, like Starkey's great paraphrase of the John 1 with... what's it? How does it start? Dab, 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 dab.
It does not start that way.
It does not start that way.
It's Monday.
It's Monday. No, I mean, I can't believe that. The older I get, the worse this gets. Sing of Christ.
Oh, that's my favorite Christmas hymn.
There you go. Oh, sing of Christ, whose birth made known the kindness of the Lord, eternal word made flesh and bone, so we could be restored. So that's the first day. I mean, it's got a lot of joy packed into that day. But let's face it. Why do you need 12 days of Christmas? Because you can't sing all those carols in just, one day. Even with three services, you have a lot more to sing. So we have to spread this joy out. The weird thing is the church makes a really tactical, different move on the next day. Mm-hmm. The second day of Christmas is actually St. Stephen's Day, and she celebrates another birth, the birth of the first martyr into the kingdom, if you will, and recognizing, look at this. Christ came so that we could have a life that would not have to be afraid of death. We can stare it down and know that he is going to literally crown us. This Stephen, his name means crown. He's going to crown us in his kingdom, and he will even stand up to welcome us as we come home to him. We do not need to be afraid of death. St. Stephen, a martyr in will and indeed. The next day, St. John, a martyr in will, but not indeed. He was never put to death for the faith. He lived till he died a natural death, but he certainly suffered for the faith. Of course, the writer of the fourth gospel and the letters that bear his name in Revelation. And then Holy Innocents, the slaughter of the babes in Bethlehem, where they were martyrs in indeed, but not themselves in will. But we see the intent of the old dragon to try to wipe out the promised seed there. It's the same thing going on. And by the way, the best way to observe all this stuff, because your church is probably not going to have church on St. Stephen's or St. John's or Holy Innocents, most of your parishes listening. There might be some that do, but most don't. But if you're following along in your Treasury of Daily Prayer or your Pray Now app, each of these days will come bringing this this with you. And throughout this whole time, you're reading from Isaiah and especially from the servant songs and toward the glorification at the end of the book. Really great passages. You're going to read all of Matthew's account, and you're going to read all of Luke's account of the birth and the events around the Christ, all the way up to and including on the very eve of Epiphany. You'll be wrapping up with the baptism. But then there is more that follows liturgically. You will probably go, if you go to Sunday after Christmas, which you certainly should, you get to hear some beautiful readings, Galatians 4, again, the birth theme, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we could receive adoption as sons. The whole thing being for us to become children of God. Luke 2, Simeon, the presentation in the temple, New Year's Eve, of course, the name of Jesus, celebrating all of that, and a lot of churches observe that as a sort of Totenfest, a remembrance of the departed in that year, the people who have died in that year. Circumcision itself, the day after, my church still observes that. It's always a hoot to go on that day, and you get up on New Year's Day and go to church to celebrate a baby having his foreskin cut off 2,000 years ago. It's like, yup. He puts himself under the law to keep the law perfectly for us. He first sheds his infant blood as a sort of promise. I'm going to shed my blood for the sins of the world. So the entire season just stretches out like that with one good gift after another, day after day.
It's interesting. The days immediately following our celebration of Christmas on December 25th, juxtaposition. I'm going to throw a big word out there on Monday. I know.
That's going to cost a lot for Monday.
I know. It's weird. But the cultural celebration of Christmas and all this joy and the gift giving and everything's happy. And then immediately following in the church, we have martyrs.
Martyrs.
Yeah.
Martyrs, blood.
Yeah.
Blood. Yeah.
But what does that tell us about how the church celebrates Christmas and these feasts in the church here as opposed to what our culture tells us about what Christmas should be?
Well, kind of gets at a juxtaposition in the words in the words themselves. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." But then Jesus comes along and says, "Hey, don't think I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." He does come to bring the peace of God down into human flesh, but because human flesh consistently rejects and hates and fights against that light, there's going to be trouble. He brings light, but the darkness does not say, "Oh, good, light's here." The darkness goes, "Ah, that's destroying us. Let's stamp it out." And the attempt to stamp it out is what the church, says to the, okay, so you've been born of God. This is a beautiful thing. By the way, you're going to have nothing but trouble in this world as you belong to Jesus. That's the way it is. And you don't need to be afraid. He'll crown you. Go through it. He's already taken care of death. He's taken care of your sins. He's taken care of the sins of the whole world. The death. Death itself is, by eating him, has been destroyed. Be at peace.
You mentioned using Treasury of Daily Prayer or the Pray Now app during these, well, use it year round, but I mean, certainly if you're using it during these 12 days, it's going to help you remember what's happening during these 12 yes. days of Christmas. Other tips, we have about a minute and a half. Any other, any other things, you know, one or two things that you would do to help us, in a sense, reclaim the 12 days of Christmas that so often, you know, most of us yanking the tree down on December 26th.
Yeah, don't take another. I know I have this, you know, I have the same temptation that, you know, it's like, oh, it's been up for a little bit now. It's time to go put away. Don't do that. Let the celebrate at least all the way through, especially this year. Epiphany falls on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Take down your stuff on Epiphany if you have to. But, you know, let it go through that time. Fill your house during those days with the music. I'm not talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm talking about with the mm-hmm. music of the church. The easiest way to do that, truthfully, go to your LPR and listen to the music section on Lutheran Public Radio, right?
I mean, and we'll have it here too.
And you'll have it here. Oh, what am I saying? Of course, I forgot you were doing that. Hello, you introduced the whole second. KFUO will do it for you too. So you have your choice. You can have music filling your house during these days that continues to hold up before your eyes the mystery of the incarnation. God became flesh. He became human beings for us. This is something that should absolutely blow us away. There's no way that you can be done with it in a day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Lots of great music lined up, and we will feature some special music during that
yes,
time.
We will.
We have some great selections. We have one of the best classical and sacred music libraries in the world.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what's stored upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to feature some of those in the afternoons during the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
We're all out of time.
Oh, okay.
I know you have some.
No, I know.
Maybe
good.
We need to talk about it more.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Coming up in just a little bit, some stories from our friends at Lutheran Heritage Foundation on the Coffee Hour.